And they took offense at him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In a few weeks, we will be celebrating a 50th anniversary of a church document. On July 25th, the encyclical Humanae Vitae will be 50 years old. I'm at first was reluctant to talk about this, and so I decided, no, I think I will. I got all this knowledge in my head. Not doing any good up there. I'll give it to you. The story of great drama, great intrigue, heroism, and a lot of betrayal, too. It's a story that is very much in the news and very much in our common culture. It's a story of human life. And I was reminded of it because of an incident I heard this past week. I was privy to a conversation between a young mother who just had her first baby and an older woman. And the young mother was talking about her child and how beautiful, but how difficult the child is. And the other mother, the older woman, said, well, it gets easier when other children come along. And she, the young woman, said, no, we're done. And the older woman said, without batting an eye, one and done. And I've been reflecting on this conversation. One and done. How it's such an easy cliche in our day and age. How we just take human life for granted, take fertility for granted. And this is something that, of course, has always been in the back of my mind. I've been specially trained over and above most other priests in this area. I have a license in sacred theology from the Pope John Paul II Institute for Marriage and Family Studies. Longest title ever. Okay. We studied this issue pretty thoroughly. And I had an opportunity to address this publicly at a diocesan event. I wasn't going to say anything, but I said, what the heck? The bishop was asking for money, thinking about having a capital campaign. You might recall that about 6 months ago, he put out feelers to all the parishes, and we had a committee, and then we were asked to assemble in Champaign. The bishop himself wasn't there, but his representative, the finance director, was. And as he was laying out the flowcharts and the PowerPoints, and where all this money is going to go to, and how good it's going to do for the diocese, and how it's going to help this group and that group, I wasn't going to say anything, but I just can't help myself sometimes. So I raised my hand and said, is the bishop open to maybe other projects with these monies? And he said, well, sure. I said, well, I think the bishop should have a special fund to help couples reverse vasectomies and tubal ligations. I'll repeat that. I think the bishop should have a special fund to help couples reverse vasectomies and tubal ligations. I wish I would have recorded his response. It went something like this. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I'm speechless. I said, my hands up, I said, that's okay. Just tell Bishop Jenkins, Father Sapay's made a suggestion. He'll understand. He goes, write that down. I've broached this before with Bishop Jenkins, so it's nothing new. But it's something that, well, it's in the media that is promoting these things. I had an opportunity to drive up to O'Hare Airport, and there's a huge billboard, and I can't tell you how big, but it's a huge billboard. And it just showed a man in his tiny whiteies up close. listen to the radio during March Madness, one advertisement caught my ear. Come, get your vasectomy during March Madness and you can recover watching basketball. This happens. This is one and done. One and done. So, 50 years since Imanavite. What can we do? What can I tell you about it? Well, it's going to be in two parts. Get you up to 1968 this week, and then from 1968 to the present. And I don't know how it's going to end. But let's just start in 1930 very quickly. Prior to 1930, all Catholic churches, all Protestant churches agreed against contraceptives, contraception. They saw it as a moral evil. But in 1930, the Anglican Church permitted it only within married couples. Now, when this came out, all the churches condemned it. Even the New York Times, big headlines condemning the Anglican Church. Could you imagine that? But since then, all the other Protestant churches went along with contraception. And so, what was the Catholic Church going to do? After all, the technology is moving forward, and by 1960, May 9th actually, 1960, the FDA approved the first chemical contraceptive pill. What is the Church's response? Holy Father, what are we to say about this? We don't know what this is. So St. John the 23rd, now let me get a commission together. Put together a commission of theological experts, medical experts, lay people who are experts in this field. Again, this was 1916, May 9th, 1916. However, Pope John the 23rd passed away in 1962, I believe. Might have been 63. Okay. Don't quote me on that. So, when the Pope dies, so does his commission, so to speak. Until the new Pope can come along. And that's when we got Pope Paul the VI. 1963, I think. Okay. And so, Pope Paul the VI took up the old commission, enlarged it with other members, and put them to work studying this issue. And by 1965, this specialized commission, who was to write only for the Pope's eyes only, had their conclusion. But some members couldn't wait for the Pope. They were in the know. They wanted to brag to their friends, to go on lecture tours. And they started telling people, here's what the Pope is going to allow. The Pope is going to change the Church's teaching regarding contraception. Don't worry. I'm on a commission. The majority of us are all for this. There's a small group that isn't, but don't worry, the majority of us, we're giving the Pope thumbs up. And that was in 1965. So in 1965, this started getting out, and it went by wildfire throughout the Church. Prior to that, 85% of the Church was very faithful to the Church's teaching. But after that, it all changed. And so 65 came and went, 66 came and went. What was the Pope going to say? 67 came and went. The Pope is silent on this. He must. Of course, it's old Latin adage, silence is consent. Okay, the Pope must agree with it. And so it started steamrolling more and more. Priests were telling young couples, go ahead and contracept. Church has already decided it's a done deal. But yet there was a small group that said, well, wait a second, Holy Father. This is part of a natural law. That is, human fertility is part of nature. It's part of who we are. And the church has always taught to subvert that purposely is a sin. You're called to follow the natural law because it's part of God's eternal law, part of God's law for us in creation. And so we don't do things against the natural law. We don't, for example, we don't lie. We don't steal other people's property. That's against the natural law. We don't kill. That's against the natural law. We honor our parents. That's a part of the natural law. We should always honor our parents. So you don't even have to be a Catholic Christian to believe this. This is part of who we are in our human makeup. We don't eat rocks, okay? Unless we have some psychological disease. Some people do. But otherwise, we take care of our bodies. And so they made this case to the Holy Father. So the Holy Father had to make a decision. The majority commission said this. A much smaller part of the commission said this. So the Pope waited another time, and then in 1968, July 25th, he made his decision. He issued forth the document that is called Humanae Vitae, On Human Life. And there he upholds the Church's constant teaching that we cannot subvert the natural law on purpose. We have to accept the natural law as part of God's law, God's eternal law. And to do so in the Spirit, realizing that if we do something in conscience against the natural law, we are sinning. So that was 1968. I told you I had a homily here. Maybe I should. In about 10 minutes maybe. But stay tuned, okay? What happened after 1968? This is, as Paul Harvey would say, what? The rest of the story.